pandemic is not letting up, and there's a possibility that kids are not going to go back to school full time or maybe at all this fall. So where does that leave working women? Is there discrimination going on in the workplace because women are traditionally the caretakers? With us to talk about this issue is Andrea Kramer. She's a regular on the Karen Conti Show. She's a lawyer here in Chicago, and she has written many books in Breaking Through Bias, Communication Techniques for Women to Succeed at Work is a great book. It's going to be coming out again with a second revised edition this September, and she has worked vigorously to remove discriminatory barriers for women for years and years and years. Andrea, welcome to the show. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you so much, Karen. Glad to be here.
So let's talk a little bit about the issue of the example is the woman in California. She was she said she was fired for having noisy kids in the background, and she filed a case for gender discrimination. Let's just assume for purposes of argument that her facts were correct. That's what her boss said. Ma'am, you know you're a good employee, but you got these noisy kids, and we're on Zoom. And you can't control them, and therefore you're fired. Is that gender discrimination?
Well, if that's all the information that we have, it could very well be gender discrimination because the children aren't in school, and with the lockdown and the stay-at-home orders, there aren't other people necessarily who can take care of the children. So being noisy is a problem. We have to keep in mind, though, that as you pointed out, it's really fact-specific, and so we really need to get to, was it just a noisy child, or is there this is an excuse to get rid of her because of her being a parent?
You know, there was an article in the New York Times this week, the Go to Mommy First, I think it was the name of the article, but it basically talking about how mothers have reduced their work hours 4 to 5 times more than fathers, and that this is of concern because we all know that if a woman at the workplace is reducing her hours, she's probably not as likely to get raises, she's probably not as likely to move up in the company ladder. So tell us, what do you anticipate that this pandemic, due to the fact of the childcare problems that women are going to have, and men, do you think that this is going to adversely impact women in the workplace?
Well, when the lockdown order started, I was optimistic that perhaps maybe it would result in some renegotiation of the traditional family roles, and that men would be taking on more responsibilities with respect to the children. But as this has dragged on, that doesn't seem to be what's been panning out. I'll give you an example, Karen. There was a study that asked who is the parent that is spending the most time with helping the kids with their school. When the school went online in March, and more than 50% of the men said that they had taken on the primary responsibilities of educating their kids, and only 3% of the mothers said that was in fact the dad who was doing it. So
yeah.
There's a disconnect.
Yes.
There's a disconnect here, and so that's the problem we have, is that the kids do go to the moms first. Many of the mothers are in a situation where there is nobody else who can give them a hand.
So if this, in fact, is a problem and we're looking at maybe some long-term detriment to women, what advice would you give to women? Let's say a woman is working remotely. And she's got kids, and she's got to be there for the kids because the husband's not going to do it, or he's got a job that requires him to go off to work. What is it that you think a woman should do with her boss and her job to make sure that she doesn't have an adverse impact to her career?
Well, the way you set the example there is that the husband is absent, or the father is absent. And in a lot of situations, he's not. And where he's not, the mom ought to be doing some serious negotiating with the father to make sure that they're splitting the responsibilities more equitably. But if she's at home and he continues to leave and they don't have child care and there is no other way, then she may need to figure out times when it would be more convenient to deal with calls with clients or customers or supervisors. It may be that she has to deal with the children when the children need her attention, but then she can turn to her work later in the evening. And so there may be some accommodations. If it turns out that there are no other accommodations, one of the things that Congress did with the coronavirus legislation is that they did pass an act called the Families First Coronavirus Response Act, which is only effective from April 1st until December 31st of this year, where employers, and you'd have to be more than 50 employees, but where employers would be required to have paid sick leave for their employees or partial paid sick leave, or give them some paid family and medical leave, so that certain employees who just can't find a way to manage with their children and their responsibilities, men and women, would have some support through the Families First Coronavirus Response Act. That's a short-term solution for some people.
You know, one of the things that, I'm an employer, a very small employer. I know, Andy, you work for a very large law firm. You're an international lawyer in your job. But, you know, I here's how I think of this. If I have a good worker, if I have somebody who's just a good employee, who's a good lawyer, a good assistant, whatever, paralegal, doesn't matter, I want to keep that person. And I'll work around their problems as long as they're willing to work around my issues. So if I need you at a certain time and I give you a long enough lead time to make arrangements, I would really like you to do that. And I'd like you not to say, well, you know what, that's after 5 o'clock and I just don't work after 5 o'clock. Well, I'm accommodating you by maybe not calling you for 2 or 3 hour period during the day when I know you're with your children. I'm going to let you go, but I am going to insist that you make up for that by doing something that maybe is not exactly on your job description. So my point in that is accommodations going both ways. You know, you're a good worker. I don't want to fire you. I like what you're doing, but you have to accommodate me and I have to accommodate you. And I think if you start out that conversation, what can I do to make up for the fact that I'm not going to be available, and have that open discussion, I think that starts the process on the right foot.
It definitely does, except that there's a fundamental assumption in what you just said, which is that I'm a good employee and we want to accommodate each other. The problem is that because of biases, very often women who have children, especially small children, are perceived to be less valuable as employees, yes, are perceived to be less committed to their jobs. And so this woman who filed this lawsuit could be more committed to her job than everybody else in the organization. But her direct supervisor believed that she was not committed because she had noisy children in the background. And so because of bias, sometimes, no matter what you do, you could be perceived as being not as valuable.
That makes a lot of sense.
And that's the issue.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's really what the litigation, I assume, is about.
Andrea Kramer, thank you so much for joining us. You are the author of a couple of books. It's Not You, It's the Workplace, Women's Conflict at Work, at the Bias That Built It, and also Breaking Through Bias, Communication Techniques for Women to Succeed at Work, coming out in a second edition in September. Available where? Where can people buy that book? It's a great book.
Anywhere online at this point. Their favorite online retailer. Please go ahead and pre-order it.
All right. Thank you so much. Take care, and we'll talk soon.
Thank you. Bye now.
Bye-bye.